Being our true selves, plus 10 tips for lasting weight loss from those who've been there. I've recorded this post in order to better serve you and hopefully make it easier for you to receive this message. I hope it proves to be helpful. Who are you really? In last week's post, I shared James' story. Ever since meeting him and seeing his transformation, I've begun to look at overweight and obese people differently. I find myself silently wondering, what do you really look like? Who are you really? Under all of that weight, who is inside just waiting to come out? It consumes me at times, and I'm passionate about finding ways to help people reveal their true selves. Please know, I don't say this to criticize fat people or to judge those who have weight they want to lose. I know full well the hold that sugar, salt, and fat have on our taste buds and our brains. I understand too well the insidiousness of food marketers whose only goal is to addict us in order to fatten their bottom lines. We are sicker and more depressed than we have ever been in the history of time. No, I do not look at people with criticism, but rather with compassion and curiosity for what might be possible. I am an alcoholic, and I understand firsthand the grip that addiction has on people. All I have to do is not drink alcohol. We can't survive as humans without food. Hell, I've gained and lost weight. I struggle with not buying the cookie while getting coffee or ordering a pizza late at night while watching a movie. I crave chocolate and ice cream and chips and popcorn. And sometimes I succumb to the temptation. I say, screw it, and I go for the junk food that is normally off limits. I silently ask the same question when I'm around drunk people. Who are you really underneath that mask? Who are you really has become a question I can't help asking. If you've been following my story, you'll know that over the past 13 years, I've been working hard on answering it for myself. I'm on a mission to help others answer it for themselves. This blog is where I've started. I can't wait to see where it might lead, and if I can help even one person to hit their own rock bottom in order to push off and create positive change in their lives, then it has been worth it. Is that person you? Self-image and body image, the intimate connection. I know that if people can just make that very difficult decision to put their health first and do what it takes to get themselves out of the pain and shame of being overweight and miserable because of it, that the whole world will open up to them. The whole world looks different when we love the way we feel in our bodies. There is a freedom that can't be explained unless you've experienced it. It is liberating and exciting, and everything changes. I've experienced this in my own life when I quit drinking, lost weight, and started eating well and working out. Self-image and body image are so closely linked that we can't ignore the powerful connection between the two. So, although our body image shouldn't determine our self-image, we can use the link to our advantage and know that the better we feel, the better we look, and the better we look, the better we feel. Pain and pleasure. We can use the principle of pain and pleasure in order to help us make choices that serve us rather than harm us. I've always connected with the way life success coach Tony Robbins describes human motivation and behavior. Listen in as he teaches us how we can use pleasure and pain to our advantage in every area of our lives.
So how can we use this understanding of the controlling force? How can we use the understanding that pain is a greater motivator than even pleasure? Well, the way to use it is to begin to understand that in any moment in time, our reality is based on whatever we focus on. That is, at any moment in time, whatever you focus on is what's most real to you. For example, if you're looking at that piece of chocolate and you think about eating the chocolate and you just let your mind flow based on its old associations, it might say, yumbo, it's time to eat. You might immediately get that pleasure feeling. And as long as you focus on the pleasure you're going to get, and that is your primary focus, and that's what's most real to you, then you're going to be drawn towards the chocolate. But haven't you also had times where you didn't eat the chocolate? Or you didn't eat something that normally you're kind of addicted to? Haven't there been times when you stopped yourself? How have you done that? The answer is you changed your focus, and you focused on the pain you probably would experience or the pleasure you would get by not eating the chocolate. So what you did is, instead of just thinking intellectually, well, yeah, not eating the chocolate will make me thinner, you literally focused on, hey, I'm going to be going to this particular ball, and I want to look like $1 million. I want to feel strong. If I eat that chocolate, I'm going to feel lousy. I'm going to feel bloated. I'm going to feel heavy. So you began to focus on all the pain plus all the pleasure you'd get by not eating it, and your behavior changed. Isn't that true? If you've ever stuck to a diet, for example, isn't it true that the way you stuck to it is one day you finally got to the point where you'd had it? You said, look, I looked in the mirror one day, or somebody said something to you, or you noticed that you were just feeling sloppy and tired, and you went through what I call threshold. Threshold is when you experience so much pain, you said, I've had it. That's it. No more. And then you begin to find a way to change it. Well, I believe that you can do this with anything at any moment in time, and I know you can. All you got to do is control your mental focus. So if you want to change your behavior, you must focus on how not doing something is going to be more painful than just going for it. In other words, link not taking action as being more painful than just doing it. Just the way we talked about with procrastination, do it to yourself up front. Don't wait till life puts you in a pressure situation where you feel like you have to do something. Does that make sense? So how can we use this in other areas of our life?
Creating a new normal. Let's face it, habits are hard to break. In fact, as we've talked about, we don't even break habits. We replace behaviors. Take James, for example. He didn't just quit eating pizza and pie. He purged his environment of junk food and brought in healthy options. He drank water all the time. He stopped eating takeout on the couch at night, replacing that behavior with having dinner at a reasonable time and going to bed earlier. He joined a gym and challenged himself to a short-term goal. Once met, he set a new short-term goal. He built a system for himself, rather than setting one long-term goal of losing 150 pounds, which would have felt too daunting. When our goals are too daunting, we make excuses when we don't achieve them. We blame the goal, and we go back to familiar territory, our old habits. But he had to first hit that point where he couldn't stand to live the way he was living for even one more day. His rock bottom came in the form of a pizza box and an empty pie plate. He woke up and realized that he didn't want this to be his life for one more day. For others, it is a health scare, or worse, a diagnosis. For some, it is the death of a friend or a loved one. For others, it is not being able to fully participate in their kids' lives. One woman I spoke with admitted it was the financial burden it was placing on her family that finally got her to stop. She said she spent over $200 a week on the junk food that was killing her. She told me about one night where she drove around the city from drive-through to drive-through, ordering kids' meals at various fast food places because she rationalized to herself that it was cheaper. That's when she finally stopped. After a night of driving around, trying to fill the hole inside of herself and only making it and herself bigger in the process. That was her rock bottom. If you are someone who knows they need to change, what will it take for you to hit a rock bottom? What I know for sure. And here's what I know for sure. It's perhaps the toughest part. You have to believe that it is possible for you to achieve your dreams. If you don't have buy-in from yourself, you'll look at every excuse to fail. And it is extremely easy to fail. It is just about the easiest thing in the world to do. Hit snooze instead of hitting the gym. Forget to make your lunches. Eat the donut. Blow off your trainer to go for drinks with friends. Grab takeout. Stay up late and eat the chips. Hitting a rock bottom and then making the decision is just the first step, and it's a breeze compared to what's next. From then on, it's all about how much you believe in yourself, trust yourself, and how much you can count on yourself to follow through. And then it's all about the following through. It's just about the hardest work you will ever do. And the most rewarding. Be honest, how many times have you said, that's it, no more, I'm never eating this crap again, my diet starts tomorrow, only to find yourself doing the same thing the next day? I get it. I did it a million times when I was drinking. I'd get wasted and I'd wake up hungover. I'd drag my ass through the next day trying to be productive, but just praying for 5 o'clock to come so that I could leave my office and go home to bed. I'd promise myself I wouldn't drink again that night. And then friends would say they were meeting at the bar, and off I'd go. Hair of the dog. Okay, tomorrow I won't drink. I promise. By making a decision, and then trusting yourself to follow through, by taking action and creating a system that supports that decision, you can create lasting change in your life. Because that is what you want, lasting change. Not to look good in a dress or an outfit for one night. Not just because you ate so much that you feel sick to your stomach and can't imagine eating another bite. But because you want to feel great in your body every day for the rest of your life. When you think it is too daunting a task, I want you to remember James. Realize that it is possible. You can do it. Only you can decide. I can help you with the systems, the recipes, the ideas, and plans, but it is up to you to decide. Because I want you to love your life one bite at a time. Learning from others. I've researched people who have also lost a lot of weight and created a healthy lifestyle. Here is what they all have in common. Step one, they use the pleasure-pain principle to their advantage. They made the one big decision that they no longer wanted to be a slave to their body and their cravings. Step two, they immediately purged their environment. They eliminated junk food from their homes, setting themselves up for success. Step three, they joined a gym. Most met with a trainer at least a few times in order to learn how to use the equipment. The financial investment and commitment help keep them accountable. The physical act of going to a gym replaces other unhealthy behaviors. Step four, they told friends and family what they were doing so they could build a support system that would help keep them accountable. Step five, they drank water, lots of water. Water hydrates the body, flushes toxins, fills us up, assists with cravings, and gives us something to do with our hands and our mouths. Step six, they ate vegetables, lots of vegetables. Veggies became their go-to snack. We can pretty much eat as many vegetables as we want in a day. They help with cravings and, again, give our hands and mouths something to do. Cucumbers and celery are great to eat raw because of how water-dense they are. Step 7. They did not count calories or points or measure portions overly strictly. They ate real, whole foods, and they ate until just before they were full. They ate more vegetables than meat, and they cut back or eliminated white foods, so white potatoes, white rice, white pasta, white bread. Step 8. They indulged in a treat food once in a while so that they wouldn't feel deprived. Step 9. They were gentle on themselves if they faltered. They didn't beat themselves up. Instead, they got back on track immediately afterwards and didn't use the relapse as an excuse to give up. Step 10. They rewarded themselves in non-food ways when they reached short-term goals. A massage, a pedicure, a new outfit. P.S. Please tell me if this post and the suggestions provided proved useful to you. Feel free to comment below if this post served you, and please share it with others you feel it could benefit. Thank you.